Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, highlighting women in business in your community. I am Heather L. Tapia, Prosperity Advisor, and I am so grateful to have you tuning in. You can participate in a couple of ways to be part of our show. You can call in and talk to a guest or myself at 646-595-3440, or simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/withinsight. Register and be part of our chat. We're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, so tune in and get to your excellence. Give Dawn a call at 614-437-9793 and schedule your healing appointment today. Thank you. www.dawnofthenewera.com. Hi, you are invited to celebrate International Women's Day, an amazing celebration held for the 102nd time around the world. In Columbus, Ohio, on March 8, 2013. Join us. You don't have to be a woman to come down and celebrate. We've got an amazing runway show, vendors, entertainment, food from around the world, and an opportunity to give back to your community. Go ahead and visit the website at www.iwdcolumbus.webs.com or RSVP at www.iwdcolumbus.eevent.com. Come on down and join us for this amazing opportunity to celebrate women being women. Hello, this is Heather L. Tapia, your prosperity advisor and host of the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. We are excited to have a very special guest calling in today, Nora. And she is an amazing leader and community activist, survivor of the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. And she'll be telling us about her story and telling us about her community action work, the work she's doing here locally in Columbus, Ohio, as well as the work she's doing overseas to help everyone. First, I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about the week and what's going on in the community, as well as highlight a few of our sponsors, which are Curtis Pardo Crime Prevention. They are a new company out in Hilliard, Ohio, that you can contact to help with security events, private investigation, managing security at your commercial business, and so forth. So they're going to be a consistent resource and sponsor here of the show, as well as at International Women's Day, which is the hot buzz until March 8th. It's the 102nd celebration of this holiday. And I'm very excited to be celebrating it here in Columbus, Ohio. You can find out more about the event at www.iwdcolumbus.webs.com. And you can also visit us on Facebook. We are currently, right now, in the middle of our recognition award voting. We've been doing this since February 1st. We've got some great nominees in over 10 categories, and our guest, Nora, is actually one of these nominees in community action, and we're excited to have her be a part of the event. She's got brought a whole new dimension of humbleness and positivity, and again, she's just an amazing woman, and you guys are going to have a really good show today listening to her. Some of our other nominees, just to go through them, so you can go to www.facebook.com/International Women's Day Recognition Awards Ohio. So if you just Google or put in the search field International Women's Day Awards Ohio, pretty sure you'll find the page. We have Deb Tenenbaum. She is in our art category. We are excited to have Deb. She plans on actually creating our awards that the winners of the recognition voting will receive. The event, again, is on March 8th. It's a Friday, and the awards luncheon is from 11 to 1. You can register now because you must RSVP in order to get tickets for the event. They are just $49, or right now our special is $49 all day. So that does get you into the public celebration from 2 to 8 and entry into our VIP charity concert, which has Marble Park opening up for All-Star Jammers, an amazing reggae band. So those two groups are going to be off-the-hook phenomenal. We're so lucky and grateful to have them be a part of the event. So to register, you can go to www.iwdcolumbus.eevent.com. Some of our other nominees that I'd like to mention, and I'll mention a few as we go throughout the show, in our community action category, and founder of TearBear.org is Teresa Johnson. Founder of Mothers Helping Mothers is Corticia Cowan, previously Sanders, and the work she's doing to help provide housing for homeless teen moms. We also have Tiana Howard. She's the founder and executive director of Successful Single Moms, and her event is actually this Saturday, Purpose for Women International, my nonprofit charity that's hosting International Women's Day, will be there, and we're so grateful. So we'll be putting some links out on the fan page for Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show to get you guys started. So those are a few of the nominees. Again, throughout the show, I'll go back and mention a few others in our category. But I did want to bring Nora on without further ado. Again, Nora is an amazing woman, and we're so grateful to have her on the show today, as well as the keynote speaker for the awards luncheon. Nora, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Heather. How are you?
I'm good. Well, thanks again for agreeing to be a guest on Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. I know it was kind of last minute, but I think it makes perfect segue to the good news we're going to be announcing and all the fun we're going to be having on March 8th, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. It's my honor to be on the show. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I know that there's a lot of publicity and marketing promotions and work that you've been experiencing over the last, 10, 15 years at least, about your story.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing so much, a lot of people obviously want to focus on what happened in the past. And I want to give you an opportunity to actually speak more about, after we do a little background, on what you're doing today and what your goals are today that people can get involved with and support you. So do me a favor, because I did not want to say your last name incorrectly. If you could just, say your name and talk a little bit about how you like to be described.
Okay. My name is Nora Bagrinka. Bagrinka means the owner of cows. My grandfather named me the name because he, in our culture, when you have a bunch of cows, you are considered to be wealthy. So he wanted me to be a wealthy woman.
So cows make the difference.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So, the cows made a difference. And in Rwanda for many years, it was counted that when you have cows, you are wealthy, you'd be subjected to be a rich person. And those who didn't have any, they were poor, they were peasants. Yeah. So going back to the genocide, I am lucky today and honored to be alive because most of other women were not able to tell their stories. But it's hard to put in words what happened, because even myself, every time when I look back, it seems like a bad dream that it can go away. But once you realize it's part of you, you have to live with it every day. So I survived the genocide with three sons, and most of my relatives were killed because in 1994, as you know, the Rwandan has three tribes. They have Hutu, who are 84%. The Tutsis were 14%, and Twa is 1%. So the 84% were hunting the 14%. And I come from the tribe of the 14%. But I had been intermarried to the 84%, so which made it hard for me or my husband's family to protect me. So I was subject to die, but my husband and the kids were subject to live. So I lived in the bush for almost 3 months, and at the end of 3 months, when the war was over, a kind person who was supposed to kill me saved me. He pretended to machete me, and I survived that way. And for his kindness...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, for his kindness, I always... it moved me to give back to the community, because kindness means a lot. Even if it is one small step, it can save many lives, and that's what motivated me to do what I'm doing today, to touch my community and help other people.
Well, and that's so beautiful. I'm curious, did you have an opportunity to ask him why he didn't kill you? Had he been ordered to kill other people, and this was just kind of the last straw? Or?
This is just fortunate, because he used to work for me. He was my gardener, and because he knew me very well, going back to the history, when you would be killed by someone who knew you very well, either because just for a small maybe grudge you had before, or just to get rid of you. So he remembered the kindness I had done to him. He used to work for me, and I had paid the school fees for his children. I had called him. I had paid his wages, so... He didn't have a way to say, okay, I have power to protect you, but in order to protect me, he had to machete my leg and my hand. And I never had a chance to thank him, because it was so, so quickly.
Yeah, it's just, I know it's horrifying, and having to tell your story is in part reliving it over and over again. And yet at the same time, I think it's important for us definitely here in America of all ages, but especially a mission to young girls and women about, you know, being grateful for what we have and not forgetting to honor where people are coming from and the journey that they've had to take that has gotten them somewhere. I know that we had this discussion yesterday. I went to the Hispanic Consortium, which is every third Tuesday luncheon, and we talk about the Latino community, and it's very much about issues that are addressed, and we had a guest speaker yesterday who is an immigration attorney, and he travels all over the world, and we were talking, like, what defines a Latino person, and it's like, what defines somebody for their race or nationality? Is it the last name? Is it that they were born in another country, now they're in the United States? Is it that their, you know, family came over and they've been in this country a while? I mean, it was a very interesting conversation. But one thing that always strikes me at these luncheons that reminds me is it's just being accepting and gracious, and realizing that I was in line at Walmart, and it's really, I kind of said something, but we were standing there for a very long time. It was like 30 minutes in, and two women next to me were getting, the one was really getting antsy because now she's late for her client who she has to do her hair. And there were some Hispanic people in front of us, and there was about five of them, and they were getting, they were running the money through, but it was this, I don't know what kind of check it was. I'm not sure why it was taking so long, but it was taking a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really bothers me when somebody says, God, why can't they just speak English? You know, why are they here? Why can't they just speak English? And it's like, that's because it's not their language.
It's
our
not
language.
Their language. And sometimes people come to live here because it's not a choice. Sometimes that was the best alternative, because if our countries were better, maybe you would prefer to stay with your family, with your country. Yeah, but sometimes it's not possible.
Right. Well, you don't know it when you come here unless you have the benefit of the education in schools. And see, this is the other thing that came up, you know, and The gentleman was speaking, and I'm trying to see if I don't have his name in front of me. And oh, there it is. His name is Luis Alagade, and he is, again, an immigration attorney. And it was about Ohio Diversity Latino Consortium. So, mm-hmm. again, it's about diversity and acceptance of diversity, which makes so much sense. And overseas and in other countries, it's just understood that they speak 2 to 3 to 4 different languages. That's just how it is. And here it's hard to learn a second language, yet people are criticizing our immigrants who have these other skills not speaking English. So it's definitely a viewpoint that I hope to put action towards changing, a philosophy that of tolerance and understanding. And I think, you know, you never know somebody's story and you know, how I met you. I mean, it was kind of fun. You were nominated for one of our recognition awards.
Mm-hmm.
And we met so I could learn more about you because I was excited to connect with you. And then, you know, I had mentioned that I had been wanting to meet this woman that survived the genocide in Rwanda for months, and you were right in front of me. What a blessing.
Yes, you know? Yes. Everything has its timing and moments. Yeah, but again, I'm very honored to be on the show. And then if I want to know more about my past, I can be willing to share. Or if you want me to continue with what I'm doing presently in Columbus, I'd go ahead with that.
No, we have plenty of time. So anything you want to address, I think, again, part of the show is highlighting women in business in the community. And you stand for all three of those areas. That's why it's such an honor to have you on the show, because you are an example of surviving dramatic adversity. Most people here in the United States, you might end up homeless, or they might not have food, or you might get laid off from a job, and that's the worst thing that happened, or their car breaks down, or their parents won't give them their allowance. I mean, it's to be a whole diversity of what's relative in the moment to that person. And I think it's stories like yours that help us get humble and remember how truly lucky we are to have it here in America, and work harder to take advantage of that opportunity. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I was a spoiled kid. My parents gave me everything I wanted. But, you know, and at the same time, they gave me a lot of skills of working hard and going to school, and education was real important. And I've learned to evolve my give-back philosophy, my volunteerism, because I think if you don't have something that you're giving back to your community, how can you truly be a part of that community? That's what we're creating.
You can't. Yeah, actually, I think, first of all, I would again go back and tell you guys that America is, to me, it's my little heaven. I just point on two things always when I spoke about it, some of my colleagues said, no. I said, America's beautiful. America's a little heaven because mostly women, we are very, very lucky because we have our justice here. We have our security, which none any other country has the same as here. But when you have never tested the other side of the world, you don't see it. But here, American women, we should be very proud because we have those two essential things. Yeah, here in Rwanda, now they're starting to realize the rights of women. But before, a woman didn't even have a press. A chair would be more worthy than you because you are both, you are paid a dowry. Actually, the sense of a dowry was a gift given to your parents for appreciation. But in most cases, it was taken like a price paid for you. So it was. It could become a violent issue because after when the husband pays a dowry, you can't decide to take a divorce. You can't walk away. Even now, it's still the same because if the dowry is paid, you can't stand up and say, okay, I'm walking away, I'm getting a divorce, because women are the one divorcing, not men, because once a man doesn't want you, it will tell you one day, you walk away and go. But yourself, you can't take a decision to go on your own.
Mm.
Yeah. So I always say that America is beautiful because of the laws and regulations about women and their security and safety.
That's a good point. I mean, we're not forced into marriage. We're not murdered because our husband doesn't want us anymore. or having to share, or, you know, what happens in other foreign countries where women are murdered for speaking their mind, 12-year-old girls are shot in the head. I mean, there's so much that it doesn't take a lot of effort to help somebody else. Like, you know, there's one of my friends actually wrote for the Homeless Coalition on their newspaper. And the people, you know, to rehabilitate the homeless, they give them jobs by giving them the paper, and then they stand on corners and they sell the paper, and that's their job. And that makes them feel like a valuable member of society and that they're giving back. And, you know, so it takes a dollar and it takes a few seconds and a smile, and I've helped that person in some way. And so even if it's my last dollar, if I've got it, I don't mind giving it, paying it forward, or, you know, donating to something, because it always comes back. I always get more dollars. You know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, it comes back that way. Yeah, so that's why I said that here, women, we should be proud, and there's a lot of social structures that are very helpful. But like back home in Rwanda, when you are out of money, there's no social structure, there's no social services.
Exactly, and you know, it's just such a different culture, and I think that's what I love about connecting and having now this vision and mission for global and women's empowerment, so that I can keep expanding. I don't pretend to have the answers. I don't know much about politics. I don't even know where certain countries are, and yet I get to learn. I didn't know how to spell Rwanda right until I had to type your bio a few times, you know, and that's a beautiful lesson, right? It's something that I should know, I don't know, but I get to learn it, and that I'm okay with that. I get to grow from the experience, and I think as long as you have that philosophy of growing, life is a little bit easier. What else would you like to share about your story? Hello? Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We actually lost Nora, but I'm sure she'll be calling back, so let's talk a little bit about the nomination process for our winners and wait for her to get back on the line. Hi, we want to invite you to celebrate International Women's Day with us in Columbus, Ohio on March 8, 2013. This international holiday has been celebrated around the world for over 102 years. As part of the celebration, we'll be hosting an award recognition luncheon from 12 to 1. To nominate a woman that's special in your life or yourself for an International Women's Day Recognition Award, simply go to www.iwdcolumbus.web.com and click on Nominate. There's 13 categories you can enter: art, community action, cuisine, education, entrepreneurship, entertainment, fashion, finance, health and wellness, leadership, media, technology, and literature. Pick your category. Nominate as many people as you want. Nominations close January 14th, and then the voting starts all the way up until the end of February. Join us again at International Women's Day on March 8, 2013, where we celebrate you. Hello? Yes, Nora, thanks. I know we lost you, so I went ahead and went to a quick commercial break.
Yes, I got off. I don't know what happened.
It's okay. It does happen. This is the technology is not a perfect world. It's just fun
to
play with.
I know. Mm-hmm.
So it's all good. We've got you back. And, you know, what I was just going to ask is, you know, what else do you think is important for the listeners to know about your story in the moment, or do you want to focus on what you're doing now? You know, because I think that to me is what's so inspiring about having met you is your humbleness and the fact that this has not defined you as a person. You know, someone could use this as like, that's all you're about, but there's so many dimensions to you that what you went through now is secondary. You went through that marketing spiel. And, you know, did you mention the documentary and what that was like?
Yes, maybe I can go back a little bit about my past. After the genocide, I realized that I was given another chance to live. And I don't know how long it's going to be. But that's what I'm doing. I want to do what is right. I want to serve my community. I want to touch another life and say, okay, sister, it's bad today, tomorrow it can be better. You can get a smile on your face again. So that's what I'm focusing on. I know that I'm a privileged woman that has been given another chance to live. And that moment, what do I do? So I want to touch many lives. And I would like to urge any other people that they can do the same, because we are all given another chances to live. We all escape violence, different forms of violence. And then to me, I call genocide that everyone faces a genocide. A divorce can be a genocide in your life. Losing a sister to cancer or a family member, it's a genocide, because the heart feels the same when you have pain. So to me, I call it different forms of genocide. So we have to overcome that, and each moment we should appreciate the life of our people, the life of your relatives, the life of your friends, because you don't know when they're going to go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and also be grateful for your own personal life. Like,
yeah.
You know, and not let things that you perceive to be limiting yourself, that maybe you're not living up to what you thought. Maybe things aren't where you thought they would be. And you know, that's a lot of society's judgments on yourself, but all judgment is self-judgment. And we can buy into that quote-unquote story and really let it affect us. Or like yourself, we can turn that story around and say, you know, my job is to keep a smile on my face so that I help other people smile. And if I can do that by telling my story or empowering families, then that's what I'm going to keep doing. And, I love that. I love that that's what you've been able to create here. Let's talk a little bit about
the documentary
you're focused on today.
Okay, I can talk a little bit about the documentary and then focus on what we're doing today.
Yeah, exactly.
I was lucky. Imagine on your way, you're dying, you're ready to die, and then you survive. From surviving, immediately you find yourself, you're on, walking on a red carpet. So to me, it was like overwhelming, because I never knew even I would be in America. But after the genocide, I got a job and I was hired to organize a women conference, which was one of the biggest ever happened in our country. So we were trying to identify women who had significant roles in the community and bring them together on a panel with international women leaders so that we can exchange our views and our points. And I was asked to identify 5 women. They came and spoke about their experiences. They were sharing with the First Lady of the country. They were sharing with the women ministries from different African and international world. And on that day is when I met a journalist from America called Kimberly Aquaro from Hollywood. And we bonded together. I didn't know what, I just chose her among so many journalists. But we bonded together, and we worked on a documentary about five lives of women who had survived the genocide and who were trying to pull their lives together in a different way. We started writing a paper, and then eventually she was asked to write, to do a documentary. The first paper she was writing for New York Times. And afterwards, then we worked on a documentary, which is called God Sleeps in Rwanda. It was nominated for Oscars in 2006. And I saw myself walking on a red carpet, which was overwhelming, which was a joy to me, and to give me another step, where another ladder, where I can stand and speak for women. And from there, I moved to Columbus. When I reached here, my goal was that whatever happens, if I have a way, I'll start a non-profit organization, and I'll be helping other women who are coming here from Africa. Because I had seen that the obstacles I was facing was that I didn't have referrals. Sometimes I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to look for a job. I didn't know what to do. Some people helped me, and I said, since the people have been there for me, I can be there for other people. And in 2006, I started Rwanda Women in Action, which is a non-profit organization that helps the new refugees from Rwanda, Burundi, and Congo, because during the genocide, Rwanda, Burundi, and Congo were also affected. Even up to now, Congo is having a lot of times. We're getting more Congolese refugees, and most of the women, when they come, either they have witnessed the violence or it has been done to them. But unfortunately, when they come here, it's very hard. People fear that because of our culture norms, no one talks about it. But still, violence is taking place in our community, in our midst here in Columbus. And some organizations, we need your help. We need to teach these people. I'm not even talking about the African communities only. Even the Asian communities. Violence takes place, especially domestic violence, and no one is able to talk about it.
Well, and I think that's a very important point, is it's everywhere. It's not just reserved to tribal nations or warring nations. It's in our backyard. It's our neighbors. It's our family members. And, you know, that's why one of our charities for International Women's Day is TearBear.org. Teresa Johnson is a survivor of abuse herself and started this foundation, this nonprofit, to bring attention to all types of abuse. There's so many organizations that just focus on one little piece of the puzzle. And she said, no, it's okay to tell your story, no matter what that story is. And her okay to tell campaign is going to change what you were saying, the unspokenness of the situation. Because it's the fear that keeps it buried, or the fear that keeps a person from standing up and saying anything. And that no longer has to be the current reality. So by you telling your story and inspiring other women and us, you know, partnering together to make a safe environment, and it will change. It is changing.
So in the community, we try to help new families. We give them referrals. Right now, we don't have much funding. We have one funding from Ohio Women's Fund, which has been a very, very helpful tool. We've been funded for the last 3 years. We run a program whereby the women are doing a child care program in their homes, whereby they alternate. One mother takes care of her neighbor's children in the morning. The neighbor goes to school, and when she comes back, they alternate. So that program, it helps them to empower them too.
Nice. And that's, in fact, it was so interesting that the more I'm getting involved in the exterior community of different international organizations, the issues are showing up identical.
Yes.
Women entrepreneurship, women who have families that want to work but need to be at home. How do we create an environment for them? How do they work that? Communal living, sharing, like you were saying, some work in the day while others help during the day and they flip it. I hope I have her card. I don't. I have her in my book, and I'm going to mention her real quick because I think it's important for the audience to know that this is not just an African nation situation. This is a real-life humanity situation.
Yes, it's a global issue.
It is a global issue. Thank you. And Marlene, she doesn't have...
Oh, Marlene Carlson?
It's actually Marlene Torres Graham.
Oh, okay. I was talking about Maureen, who does the trafficking for women.
No, this is, it's not recovery from human trafficking. She is an educator in the Westerville school system, and she works with women who need to stay at home with their families, helping them discover entrepreneurial opportunities, business opportunities they can do from home.
Oh,
so just like you're creating the daycare center situation, that's one opportunity, or the cleaning and so forth. So I'm going to work with her a little bit on what ideas we could come up with. It's going to be the same ideas we come up with your Rwanda Women in Action and the other programs you want to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we partner together. Now we're working with the Latino Hispanic community of women, and now we're working with Rwanda and the Congo and the African women. And then we bring in another population of the Asian community, and so on. And now we're truly creating an umbrella opportunity of women entrepreneurship. That's something I'm extremely excited about launching with Purpose for Women International. And we're just going to plug in the pieces. Because it doesn't have to be difficult. I've been coaching businesses for 16 years, and you know, because you're a survivor and a leader, you've got the idea. It's the fear of the idea that keeps you stuck. The minute you move past the fear, doesn't mean the fear is gone, but you move forward from it, and you do the action, you put the action behind your desire, boom, now you're making waves. Now you're making a difference. There's nothing in your way ever but you. Everything else is a perceived obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting. What other programs are you looking to do? I mean, did you talk a little bit about, you know, Rwanda Women in Action? And
we have other programs too. We do have English conversation, but all of this we do it on a volunteer basis. We have classes for once a week, every Friday for women who are new, that we can try to talk, because most of them, they take normal ESL classes, but afterwards it's hard to practice talking, because normally they're surrounded by their community whereby they're talking their language every day. So we wanted to put in that so that they can exercise, they can talk, they can be around other people who are English speakers, so that it can help them to move forward. Because we found that it's very hard for them to find jobs.
Because they don't, I mean, and I think that's part of what I was saying. You know, I studied Spanish for 15 years, but I can hardly, I mean, I don't have anybody to talk to. I can, if somebody's talking to me, I can understand it, I can read it. I can't write it because I can hardly spell English, let alone spell Spanish.
Yes, yes.
But you
have to practice before speaking. So otherwise you can learn, but you can, when you are not practicing, it doesn't come.
Right. And so I'm excited, you know, to maybe help put more Americans involved in the program so they can have somebody like myself who wants to volunteer and participate and have conversations and then learn the language while they're practicing ours. I think there's plenty of students out there that we just need to reach them. We just need to let them know.
Yes, that's there's so the much we can women can share. And then the other, during that week, we want to start also like 1 hour bringing in a person to talk about domestic violence, to talk about the rape, because those things are happening in our communities and no one is addressing them.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to speak up or you don't know where to go, how are you going to do that? Because
Yeah.
Well, isn't it true though? I mean, I've got friends that are in situations where I just heard this story from a man. He was, let's see, I don't know how old he is for real. I just met him. He's a friend of my friend's father, and he was telling us a story. And he's let's just say he's 50, because I really don't know how old he is. But you know, he got hit over the head, beat up, his place got robbed, and they called the cops. And the cops didn't want to do anything because they assumed that it was alcohol or drugs involved.
Hmm.
And the man's bleeding to death, and all they did was drop him off down the street. They didn't take him to a hospital. They didn't do anything. Now, if he's in that situation again, is he going to call the police for help? No.
No, he won't. Mm-hmm.
And that should not happen. But again, we're so desensitized in the official capacity, the officers, the medics, the firefighters, they become desensitized because they see this repeated pattern of violence and chaos over and over, and you just don't believe people anymore.
You don't trust
people anymore.
I think you give a good example, because also in our community we have sometimes rape is considered a silence, that you don't talk about it. We have experience, it has happened. Someone, a perpetrator, has been attacking women, and then with his family has been having problems. But he told the wife that, we can divorce, but nothing more. Because if you say more, they're going to put him in jail, they're going to deport me. And the guy asked the community and other people from different states to call her and scare her, say that, please don't make him go to jail or be taken back home, because it's hard, so just ask for a divorce. So this guy's in the community, and still other episodes are happening, he's attacking other women. So because of they don't know, they just keep quiet to themselves.
Well, I think that's where Teresa and Tear Bear can help be that bridge between the empowerment piece of it's okay to tell. And she's mm-hmm. developed something, it's okay to tell coin. And
yes.
when it's great for families or relationships so that if something's going on and you have something to say, and it's hard sometimes to ask for help, all you have mm-hmm. to do is, you know, if you're trying to get somebody's attention, is walk up and hand them the coin. The contract, mm-hmm. the agreement is, if they hand you a coin, you immediately stop everything you're doing and you excuse yourself and you go talk to that person or child or family
That's
member.
Absolutely. It sounds good. And then also sometimes women live in fear because they say, okay, if he goes away, what do I do? Who is the breadwinner? I am not educated. I'm not skilled in any way. And here my man is the one who is skilled, who's been a breadwinner. If he gets away, if he moves out of the house, what do I do? So most of the women keep quiet because of the economic empowerment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that you know, money is just an energy, but we're so focused on it, and it limits our ability to have choice.
Yeah.
And it sometimes limits our abilities to be who we want to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I work with clients, I like to say, don't let money get in the way of your success because it's just money. And if the program mm-hmm. works and you're committed to it, you're going to have the funds you need. You're going to attract your abundance. That's why I'm a prosperity advisor. That's why I wrote the book, The 5 Steps to Abundance. The simple 5-step awareness
mm-hmm.
on how to shift from a viewpoint of lack to a viewpoint of abundance. And that takes
yeah.
practice. It doesn't happen all day long because I'm one that doesn't watch the news or read the paper, but those of us out there that do that are inundated with how much horror and lack and violence there is. Why do you want to be alive when all that crap's happening? That's why I don't watch it. I don't participate with it.
I know it's very hard. It's a lot of violence around us.
So, you know, you're doing great work. You're making a difference. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's still so much opportunity and work people can do. They can go to your website. What's your website?
Our website is www.rwandawomeninaction.org. Or they can Google on Rwanda Women Action, and then they can see us there.
And they can donate, and they can learn more about your programs. They can certainly
yes.
come out and listen to your full presentation. I can't wait to see how powerful your story will be in a group with an audience on
yes,
International
yes.
Women's Day, which is March 8th. It's at the McCoy Center in Hilliard, Ohio. Tickets
yes.
for the luncheon are just $49. We're raising money for 4 charities. We're accepting applications for future events and future charities. And we're going to be doing a lot of work on a local level in Columbus as well as around the world. And, you know, you've helped me so much, Nora, with an understanding of your culture. And, I mean, there's so much more that I truly want to understand and embrace and get involved with in any way I can. So, you know, let's just keep the ideas flowing. That's really what it's all about.
Okay. Thank you very much for hosting me.
Is there anything else you want to share with the audience before we, I mean, we can keep talking. It's up to you.
Okay. I would just ask the audience maybe to be much involved in the local communities, local organizations that are around in the community, because once they involve themselves, they know better what is happening, and we need more guidance because some of the things we are foreigners, we don't know. So we need to hand in hand with American women, that they can guide us, that they can mentor us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It really, when you're, let's say for those people that are out of work right now, not sure what to do, where to go, you can volunteer your time, an hour or two or even more a week. You're going to feel like a contributing member of society. You're going to meet people who have job opportunities, and you're going to be contributing to the elevation of the community as a whole. And I think if you know, people who whine about not having a job, and not everybody whines, but they're out there, would just go out and
volunteers are encouraged to come, because like we are looking for mentors for each family. But for instance, I can give you a small scenario. Like when they come, there's a lot of paperwork. You know how much mail you get every day? Imagine if you can't read them, if you don't know the language, what do you do? They miss doctor's appointments. They miss the appointments at the county. They miss most of the things, and some of the benefits are cut because they don't know what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and if you miss a deadline with your benefits, you're done. Exactly.
Mm-hmm, you're done. So sometimes it's hard to revise again and get them in between. Where do you turn? None of the you is working. They don't know where to go to the food pantry. So I am like their 911.
Gotcha.
I have.
Well, we need to get you some interns and some supporters and some volunteers to help out with this and some legwork, because I mean I know what it's like to be the only person doing all the work, and it's much more fun when you can work together and co-create. You get more accomplished, and you don't feel so.
Yes, we have some wonderful, wonderful board members, and we have a few volunteers, but it's not enough because our community is growing every day. Even today, we are getting a new family tonight. There's a new family that is coming from Ethiopia, but they're from Congo. They've been in an Ethiopian refugee camp. Now they are going to be resettled here. So that the new family needs transportation, needs guidance, all that is upon Rwanda Women in Action, which doesn't have enough resources.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like Tish at Mothers Helping Mothers. She's got a few board members that stand up, and she's basically been her, because it's hard when you're doing this kind of work for people to stay in it when they're not getting paid. I mean, everybody's got a good heart. But let's just face it, sometimes they get their own life gets in the way. And so she's got organizations that have federal funding and have been in business three times as long as she has, calling her to place homeless teen moms. And she's buying them hotel rooms and, you know, doing whatever she can out of her own pocket and the nonprofit to fulfill this need so they're not out on the street anymore. I mean,
that's really
crazy.
Helpful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, and these are government agencies that have support, and they're going to her, a little nonprofit, for backing. That just speaks volumes to her reputation and the quality of work she does, of course. Yet at the same time, it's hard on her. You know, she can't focus on growing because she's so ingrained in the day-to-day. So,
even ourselves, that's the challenge, is because we lack funding. When you're small, most of the funding goes to the big organizations. So you find you do their job, but no one is paying you until when you feel your burnout.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, I know International Women's Day will be a fun day. It'll be an opportunity to get the word out to the public. That's what our show today is about, is helping spread the word and letting people know about how they can get involved. And, you know, letting people know about you and why they should come to the awards luncheon and listen to more about your empowering story. Now you're going to have a table at the event, right? You've got some stuff that you
can sell.
Tell us about that. What kind of things can the people, you know, that come to our public celebration between, that's free to the public, by the way, everyone, between 2 to 8, what can they expect?
Okay, we'll be having recycled paper necklaces. We have recycled beans, necklaces, which are very unique. And we have other small souvenirs like keychains. Everything is made out of recycled paper. And then we have also a book which was written by the only American who stayed during the genocide. It's called Why Did I Leave? And this guy used to be my director. So we are working hand in hand. He goes around America telling his own experience. Why did he remain? When everybody was asked to get out, but he didn't want to leave us. It's amazing, amazing story, his own side of the story. So the books will be there.
Well, great. That is so important for people to come out and support this day, meet inspiring women like yourself. If you're looking for career opportunities, there's going to be career opportunities, entrepreneurship opportunities. At the event, we've got New Skin, we have Talk Fusion, we have so many other, you know, opportunities and agencies that we're just gathering to be a part of this. It's just picking up steam. Some really good news that Nora and I got today. The Columbus Dispatch called me, and they'll be doing a feature article about the event and highlighting Nora, which I think is perfect because, again, you are such a glowing example of what International Women's Day represents and why we should celebrate being women and why we should bring our different cultures together. We're all experiencing the same issues, and it is absolutely the women that are the foundation of the movement for change. We care about our families and our communities, and we want to make a difference, and that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Nora, do you have a personal website yet, or is it just RwandaWomenInAction.org?
We just have Rwanda Women in Action right now, and also it's still being built, but people can visit and read a bit about that, about us, and then they can contact us. But we are developing it for more for donations, where people can put donations.
That's perfect. And we're going to plug it in to Purpose for Women International. So if you go to purposeforwomeninternational.org or womeninternational.info.com.org, I bought them all, you'll be able to also access Nora and these other groups that we've been talking about, because that's what Purpose for Women is all about for us, empowering women, children, and families to affecting change on a local, national, and international level. And it, you know, what do they say? It takes one person, and then it takes a village to keep it going. So we're building our village.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nora. Thanks for your time. And let me know about when you want to get together, Thursday or Friday. And we'll definitely be doing a lot of fun stuff. Thanks so much for your time. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay. I'll come by. I'll tell you this evening. Thanks a lot.
That's fine. You're welcome. Have a good night.
Okay, same to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this Wednesday show of Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. Again, just want to put out a few commercials from our sponsors. This is the International Women's Day event. How you can get
involved. Hi, you are invited to celebrate International Women's Day, an amazing celebration held for the 102nd time around the world. In Columbus, Ohio, on March 8, 2013. Join us. You don't have to be a woman to come down and celebrate. We've got an amazing runway show, vendors, entertainment, food from around the world, and an opportunity to give back to your community. Go ahead and visit the website at www.iwdcolumbus.webs.com or RSVP at www.iwdcolumbus.eevent.com. Come on down and join us for this amazing opportunity to celebrate women being women.
I am Dawn of the New Era, intuitive healer and seer.
Give Dawn a call at 614-437-9793 and schedule your healing appointment today. Thank you. www.dawnofthenewera.com.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Thanks again, folks, for tuning in. We're here every Wednesday from 2 to 4 most of the time. Got a lot going on with International Women's Day, so we're going to let you go for now and expect more amazing insights into this 102nd celebration of International Women's Day. We'll see you on March 8th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., hanging out and having fun. Enjoy your day. See you in abundance.